Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty, that was Rocks and Rainbows by Guitars Milan, and welcome to Psychic Sound Wow this afternoon. We have got some interesting things going, showing us it's going to be an amazing day. And this is Casey, and we're going to bring on Andrew as one of our hosts here, and also our mystery guest today. I am going to have her just kind of come on here and give a little bit about her background for those of you guys who are hearing us here for the first time. She's not a real public figure. In fact, she's probably a real fly-under-the-radar figure. So welcome today, Madam X. What I was going to do today was have you give a little bit, you know, kind of about your background, because we're doing, you know, today's show a little bit on health and our personal health and healing type of stuff, but as it relates, you know, to our spiritual growth, it's like, believe me, our health of ourselves and of the planet really takes some very, very broad, it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. It's like we really are interconnected, but just a little bit, you know, about your history and about, because I know you were in nursing, and I know you had a very amazing husband who was in a very interesting field. Just kind of want you to tell us a little bit, you know, a little bit about your best, I kind of
said,
if you would.
Oh, hi, Kelly. Thank you for having me.
Okay, like you mentioned, I started out in the normal daily, day-to-day world, and I worked as a nurse. And then I was essentially transplanted abroad to live for 15 years in total, because I was married to a theoretical physicist who specialized in quantum statistical mechanics. So that offered me... Yeah, so that offered me a nice background in that field. And when I was widowed, I came back to the States, and I went back into nursing, and then I realized that the medical industry has been industrialized. And they were, like, way overusing pharmaceuticals, and then I could see after a few years working with them that was their objective. And I lost, to my eyes, the medical industry lost all credibility, and I backed out of it. And I essentially went inward within myself, and it's kind of like, you know, the physician heal thyself type of thing. And I realized there's something to that. It's a truism. And what I found is that we are all incredibly powerful, and I just kind of became empowered, and we can and discovered that we can essentially direct our own health and the health of the planet through various circumstances and experiences that I had firsthand. Like you said, with the
we'll talk about those. Yes, we do.
Right. You're coming in kind of, I can't hear you all that well, so I'm kind of like intuiting what you're saying.
Oh, good. Oh, golly. I used a different sound hoping it was going to help, and it's like maybe it's not helping as much as I hope there. So let me see here. Does that make it any better or is that worse?
Okay, I can hear you better. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, better. Okay, all right. Sounds good. Well, we'll go with it that way. All right. Yeah, me and the technology, between the Mercury retrograde that's currently going on, and everybody will be really happy to know that even though it started on the 26th, it will be over by July 20th. So it's like, yay, we just have to suffer through, guys.
Well, I was born under a Mercury retrograde, so it doesn't affect me as much. But getting back to the subject matter. Yeah, I'm impervious to it. But getting back to the subject matter, I essentially felt like I was telling you last week, I fell into a rabbit hole, and I started to tell you how I essentially fell into it. And this is a story of how I became empowered or discovered my own power.
Right.
I had been cruising the internet, and I came across this website with this guy who claims to channel some other entity off planet. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. I'm going to totally debunk this guy. This is going to be so much fun. Because at that time, that's what I was educated.
Right.
You know, in philosophy and yada, 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 you know, or programmed, you know, to do. And so I started reading his website, which is tomkenyon.com, TomKenyon.com, and I started reading about the Hawthors, and what I wanted to debunk totally resonated with me. It resonated with me so much that I ended up going to a seminar in Seattle that he had, and it was a seminar of healing. And this is like one of the experiences that I had before I left on the trip for the seminar. There was something going on at work. One of the nurses was being exceedingly rude, and I called her on it. And she was of this one nationality that I didn't like the way they treated their women. They still had prearranged marriages. I didn't care for the food. And I, you know, was not all up, you know, with their culture, but I chose not to be, you know, racist against an entire nation of peoples.
Right.
And so that was my choice. I actually made this choice on the plane to Seattle. And so at the seminar, they catered this delicious lunch. And while I was out on this patio area with another person, this young lady of that persuasion, of that nation, came out. And she joined us for lunch. And she was the sweetest, most delightful person. And I thoroughly enjoyed our lunch, you know, with her. And later on in the seminar, she came up and she gave me a little hand-carved Kachina-type doll, which I thought
wow.
was very sweet. And I still have it somewhere. Okay? And so we went to the
and
seminar, yada, yada. Right. And so then, like, I went to another seminar the following year, and I asked one of the producers of the seminar, so are you going to cater lunch again this year? And they said, no, we have never catered lunches. And I said, yeah, right.
Wow.
Now, last year at, you know, and I named the seminar, you catered lunch. And she said, no, we have never catered lunches. And I said, well, in a parallel universe you do, and let me tell you, it's delicious. And she said, cool.
That's funny.
And so,
wow.
like, that.
What time line were you on? Right.
Yeah,
oh,
really. And so, like, that didn't really hit home until another experience, kind of like around, you know, like, you know, this time era.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No,
long story short.
Story. That's the whole point, y'all.
I'll get it.
You will.
There was this young man who I allowed to stay in my house because he was essentially, like, thrown out of his house and, you know, yada, 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 yada. And he had this dog that was like a pit bull, and the dog could get into trouble. And I knew that this young person had to, you know, have the responsibility of ownership of this dog. And so this dog wanted to go down, you know, wanted to go outside via the going through the cellar. So the dog went, you know, so the dog was going down the cellar, and I said, okay, you're going outside. And then I wondered, like, who is going to be responsible for this dog, the owner or me? And I chose, the owner is going to be responsible for this dog. So I closed the cellar door, took three steps into the kitchen, and there was the dog.
Wow.
The dog that I had just let
closed
yes.
in, right.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I touched the dog to make sure it was, you know, in quote, real.
Yep.
And, yep, there
right.
was the dog. And it
yeah,
took me a while to finally figure out, you know, what's going on here. You know, we're essentially,
wow.
you know, stepping into parallel universes all the time, but we just don't realize it.
Yeah. See,
unless you find...
Like, how do we understand? How do we figure that out? And how do we, you know, how do we become aware of that? That is, you know, that's been my $64 question is, how in the world do we become aware of that?
From what I have found is essentially as much as possible, you back out of your programming, which is how this culture is set up, is to, like, program our thoughts, our moods, everything. And this culture is also set up to cater to the lower three chakras but deny the other feelings that our body has. And from... like going through, you know, like the process that I went through of self-discovery, I encountered through Tom Kenyon what they had taught in ancient Egyptian mystery schools. That's essentially what I was, you know, teaching myself. And what you do is, like, you work with the chakras and you open up your heart chakra specifically, and then you just kind of, like, control your mind chatter, and then you essentially, you know, realize what your own personal language is to yourself. You know, like, are you beating up on yourself? Are you being negative towards yourself? That's very important, because that very process is describing your entire reality. You are creating your reality with your every thought and every choice, and you can choose your universe, as obviously as I discovered.
Right.
And
wow.
And also
sometimes,
and also, the hawk, right, and the, like I say, the culture is set up, like, with all of these distractions to keep us from going within ourselves to discover what's in there and our connections to everything, you know, like through all of these, like, these new technology gadgets and stuff, you know, it's kind of like whatever happened to, you know, ordinary telepathic communication. You know?
Is that ordinary? No. I'd like to see that as a subject in school. I really would.
Yeah, really. And I also like the Hawthors emphasize feelings, and what we need to understand is that we are so programmed and so bombarded constantly on a daily, you know, basis of this barrage of things to program us and our way of thinking, and most importantly, our way of feeling. You know, it's our feelings that we have to become aware of. And so what we do is we recognize our feelings that we have, but we don't assign any labels to them. We don't say, oh, this is bad, this is good, this is, you know. We just experience them, and then we note where they are in our bodies. And we become very sensitive to our feelings so that when we're out and about, we can pay attention to what our body is telling us just by our feelings, and don't let our mind get into it at all, because that's when the programmation takes over and the fear sets in. And so, like, the point is basically what you train your body to and yourself to do is just stand back. You have this detached awareness, and you're just observing things. And from that vantage point, you are very powerful. And that's where the quantum mechanics comes in. Because when you're detached and you're not giving off, you know, needless, you're not giving your energy away. It's not being sucked out of you by any, you know, mechanism or, you know, whatever, or people or programs or music or movies or whatever. What you do is you use this power. And that's exactly, essentially, how I was able to overcome my ticket.
Wow.
We talked about last week when that police officer was writing me a ticket. And my heart chakra just took over because I had, you know, I was, like, detached, and I essentially stepped out of the way. And so my body just took over.
Wow.
You know, the highest good of all.
I'm going to make you give us a few details on that one, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who would like to know. How do you get out when an officer is standing there writing you a ticket? How do you avoid the ticket? Because this is exactly what she did. She got the guy to quit giving her a ticket in the moment. So it's like, which also has to show that those first points and windows of time are, you know, immediate. So tell us about that one just a little bit.
Yeah, I thought nothing of the ticket. I thought nothing of the circuit. The only thing I thought was is that my what's the word I'm looking for?
Which dimension did you bop to? No.
Yeah, really.
That word went to a different dimension.
calling Madam X. Like, I was just like, you know, like, I just knew I was being, you know, my oh, come on.
I got to say, was this, because it wasn't in relation to a car, was it? It was actually in relation, you were walking your dog or something, right? And this cop was
I was on foot.
Right.
I had no identification with me or anything. I was just walking along, and this guy just said, you know, he literally was in his police car, pulled up to me and said, you know, you're walking your dog off leash. And, he started writing me up a ticket. And, I just knew that my, it starts with an I. My what?
Your inner self.
Yeah, I was being violated, you know, against my will. And that's all I thought of. I didn't have any emotion to it. That's all I held in my my consciousness, was that my free will was being violated. And that's when my heart chakra opened and zapped this guy with a force that was so strong I could almost see it with my eyes. I'm not clairvoyant, but I'm empathic. I could feel it. And it was so strong, I was, like, shocked. And I looked at the police officer, and he just said, well, he stopped writing his ticket.
He probably shocked too.
Yeah, and he looked kind of, like, mystified. And he said, well, you know, I apologize for almost ruining your day. And then he drove off.
Wow, that's funny.
and so, like, you know, by thinking that, ooh, I don't want the ticket, that is, you know, like your brain kicking in.
Right.
And to think that, you know, I'm just being violated.
My rights are being violated, yeah, no kidding.
Right.
It's like my space, my place, it's like, gee whiz, I'm not walking my dog, and you're going to write me a ticket for walking my dog off leash. Wow. And you've got some well-behaved dogs.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those that need to be on leashes. Like, he's not one of them.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, like to jump back a little bit with regards to parallel universes and such, there's this one particular person who runs the Farsight Institute.
Farsight Institute. Okay. So is it like a www.farsightinstitute.com, or is like how would people find
that? Yeah, that's right. Okay. And what they do is they view into the future. It's like what do they call it?
Oh, remote viewing. Like remote viewing?
Yeah, remote viewing, essentially, yeah.
Ah,
and he was like military. He's using this for the military. And so this is
wow.
like military-grade remote viewers that they're using. And he's
wow.
come up with like several different scenarios. And that he actually advocates, he calls it a theory of parallel universes because of what he has come up with in his research.
Wow.
You know, he has all proof that there's parallel universe. And I'd like to talk to this guy and tell him, well, yeah, there are parallel universes, you know, because some of us
Einstein thought there were infinite numbers of them. It's like he mathematically, I think we touched on a little bit about, you know, but Einstein didn't
want
to open
that was a private conversation. Yeah, we had a private
right.
conversation about this. Yeah, and I
right.
had, like, many discussions with my late husband about this, and he said that, yeah, Albert Einstein did not advocate quantum mechanics because he didn't like the implications of it.
Right.
And that's why he never
yeah.
advocated
yeah.
quantum mechanics.
Right. It's kind of intimidating to go, there's an infinite number of parallel, you know, because some people, oh, yeah, there's 8, there's 12, there's whatever. It's like, what if there's an infinite, you know, what if it never quits? It's like that mirror you look into. It's like, and if there's a never ending, you know, that you've seen those. It's like, wow,
right.
it never ends.
It's all
like,
the choices.
Wow.
It's all the choices that you make. And everything, you know, comes down to our choices. You know, am I going to feel angry? Am I going to feel upset? Am I going to, you know, all of this stuff we've been programmed, but is our body really feeling that? You know, you just tune into your body and see what your body is feeling. And then I also learned further. I got into, like, you know, shamanic type stuff. You know, some people,
yeah.
you know, call it, you know, alchemical or, you know, energy work or, you know, it's all the same thing, essentially, because we're all energy. And
right.
And with regards to the empowerment of, you know, the individual, I had also discovered a lot of power just because, like, I was, you know, like playing around with clouds when I was a kid, and, you know, we used to, like, break pieces of the clouds off and such. And I had another little didn't you ever do that as a kid?
You know,
we
used to cloud watch, you know, it's like we go, oh, there's Winnie the Pooh, and there's, you know, like, we used to look at
yeah.
pieces in the clouds. We tried manipulating them because, I mean, I was
right.
raised in an era, I was in Wyoming. We never even thought of stuff like that. You know, my mom was doing good to teach me to go, oh, look for pictures in the clouds. Look for, you know, see what you see. It's like, she didn't even have, you know, the idea of, you know, go out and see if you can control the clouds. It's like, I never thought of that. So I could go out and
yeah.
cloud watch now, though.
Well, yeah, our culture doesn't encourage that sort of thing because we'll discover how powerful we are. And so
yeah,
then another
right.
thing,
yeah.
I was in high school and we were having a backyard swim party and, you know, the barbecue and the guys and yada, yada, yada. And it was friggin' going to rain and I didn't want it
wow.
to. And so I made this really cool robe. It was this long white robe with long flowing arms and a hood. And I put it on and
oh.
I thought, ooh, I just intuitively thought I'm going to do a sun dance. So I did a sun dance. I just, like, you know, made it up on the spot. I didn't tell anybody I was doing this. I just, like, they just thought I was, like, you know, just dancing around or whatever. And it rained in the front yard and all around, but it did not rain in the backyard where we were.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness, that's funny.
Yeah.
You did an anti-rain.
No,
wow.
we don't do anti. You know, we just do sun. We always emphasize the positive.
Oh, the sundance. Oh, you're doing the sundance. Okay. There you go.
Yeah,
you go.
The sundance. Yeah.
Oh.
And so then when I came back to this country and I was living in the place that I was, that was being totally inundated with chemtrails, like day in and day out. We never saw the sun. That thought, you know, this is,
wow.
you know, I could either hate them and you know, be, you know, an angry, low-vibing person or,
right.
you know, I can look on it detached and think, what can I learn from this? And so I started playing with it. And I thought, you know, remembered all that cool stuff that I did as a kid, and thought, well, you know, let's, you know, I heard about this, the guy that, you know, loves the water and changes the matsu, you know, with the, if you, you take water and you say the love and chant to it and stuff.
Oh, yeah, Moto. Yeah, it's like, I can't remember his first name, but yeah, he's written Hidden Power.
Moto Yatsu Mutsi or something like that.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, it's like, and he's
very
famous. Been at it for a while. It's like I just discovered his like about 3 months ago. It's like I bought all three of them. He's got a trilogy now, and it's like he's got the photographs. Yeah, oh yeah, it's really cool. I mean, he's got the photographs of like, you know, the before and after pictures of the water crystals, you know, taken out of the same, you know, same body of water type of thing. It's like, you know, here's the before pictures, here's the after pictures, and it's like, it literally, you know, people prayed over or, you know, said different stuff. And it's like in the crystals they form before versus the crystals they form after. And it's like, it's, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. It's like, it's amazing.
Right.
Yeah, I got all three of those.
So I thought I'd apply this. And so there was like this little stream of water near where I lived. And every morning when I walk the dog, I go out. And the authors talked about the four elements. And they called them El, Ka, Lim, and Om. Let's see, Om is the wind. Lim is the water, Ka is like the fire or the sun, and El would be like the body element. And so, like, I would, and they like
to
say it in four.
I'm going to write this in. Let's see. So, okay, so Om is the, I got Om is the water, Ka is the fire, El is the...
El is like the body, or the earth, kind of element.
Oh, the earth, okay. And Li was the air.
Lim, L-E-E-M, that's water.
Lim. Oh, Lim is water, and Om is?
M-L-E-E-M, like madre, like mother.
Right, okay, Lim is water, so Ka, and Ka is fire. L is like the earth, and what was the first one, was Om?
L, L, Ka, Lim, Om.
L,
like the earth. Ka
right.
would be like the fire, the sun. Lim is the water, and Om is like the air.
Air, there we go. Okay, that's what I was missing. Perfect.
And you, and so not to slight anybody, you say it like four times. Or you can say it in multiples of four. Or, you know, like all fours, so that they're all. And so, and then what I would do is I would, the authors taught this one thing with this energizing, very empowering, very, very powerful of the pranic tube, which would be what they used in India. You know, prana, the life force, the flow, it goes through the body. It goes through your crown, you know, your crown chakra, and it goes like right through you, straight down, and it comes right through your the lower of your body between your urethra and your anus. And it goes like into the ground, depending on where you want it, you know, how deeply you want it to go. And then what you do is, like, you connect the earth, you draw in the energy from the earth on your in-breath, and you draw it into your picture, going to your heart chakra, and your heart chakra is whirling around in a clockwise direction. And then that would be like your first thing. And then the second one, it would be like source energy, or people call it, you know, God energy or light energy, divine energy, comes in through your crown chakra, through your pranic tube, and it goes through you into your heart chakra. So when you inhale, you picture these life energy forces coming from the earth and from the source that meet in your heart chakra as it's whirling. You go... And you just picture that force meeting in your heart chakra, and as your heart chakra is whirling, it's mixing them together. So it's mixing the earth power and the source power together in your heart chakra. And then when you exhale, it goes out. You can send it into your body. You can send it into your Ka body, which would be your energetic body, or you can send it out into the universe. You can do whatever you want with it. That's where your intention comes in. And you do this like three or four times, and you're pretty darn empowered. And that's when I do the El Ka Lim Om with the water. And I started doing this, like I told you last week, you know, like every day, and the dog noticed that the water tastes way better after I do this. So he waits until I bless it before he drinks.
That's funny. Even the dog might send you bless the water before he drinks it. That's funny, man, cause, so he knows.
Right.
What animals could tell? What tells animals to tell if they could talk? Well, if we could understand them. They talk, we just don't understand them. Oh, my goodness.
Right. And so then I started, looking at these chemtrails, and like I was saying, you know, I could really let them upset me, or I can see, let's see, this is a challenge, and every challenge I accept, because when I accept a challenge, I am so much more powerful, you know, after I've worked with it.
All right.
And so then I started, I forgot to tell you, what I said as I blessed the water. I would take my hands. Okay, this alchemical thing is like when you're receiving mode, when you're absorbing force, energy, you have your palms upward. And when you're giving energy outward from you, or actually you're using the pranic flow, you don't use your own energy or you'd be empty after a while.
Right.
So what you do is
when
you bless, this is very important, is like, you have to be grounded, you know, with the earth.
Right.
And then you take your palms and you think of your pranic tube. So that's where the energy will come from as you're drawing it in. And then I say to the water, I say, I hereby decree that this water is love. All that touch this water becomes love. All that touches what touch this water becomes love. If it's for the highest good of all, so it is, and it is done. Knowing full well that that stream of water goes downhill and into this enormous lake. And as it goes into this enormous lake, all the water it touches will become love.
All the molecules. Nice.
Right. And when it evaporates, it is still love. And it spreads all over the land, and it is love. That's how I do it.
Wow.
And then for the clowns,
I'm gonna qualify this a little bit. So here she is. She's living in this other state. She's aware that they're chemtrailing because the sky is gray. You know, it's like all the fields are brown and the sky is gray. Okay, so she hasn't seen blue sky over this place for a while. So she literally makes little pouts of blue sky over where she's at, and she sees the most amazing things. But first she's going to tell us how she made the blue sky, and then she's going to tell us what she saw in the blue sky and why they might be chemtrailing in that particular area.
This is kind of re-emphasizing last week's little chat.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, yeah, and then I looked up, and I noticed, so what I do for the sky is I get grounded. I like to call it getting a heart on.
Uh-huh.
You know, I go up in my heart chakra and use my heart energy. And so I do the three in breaths with the pranic tube, you know, the energy coming in from source and from the earth. Then after the third breath, I feel pretty empowered. And then I hold my hands upward towards the sky and I say, it is my intention that all energetics within my field that are non-conducive to the highest vibration and optimal health and well-being of this planet and her rightful inhabitants are hereby neutralized if it's for the highest good of all. So it is, it is done. And I just do that every day, and whenever I see a chemtrail plane, thank you for reminding me. That's how I look at them. You know? And then I do that.
Right.
And before you know it, you're going to have your own patch of blue sky. And I think people stood up and took notice of that patch of blue sky because they started sending chemtrails specifically to it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
When you actually saw blue sky, what kind of things were you seeing in the blue sky? Because aviation activity, shall we say.
Well, it's pretty interesting and varied.
Uh-huh.
One time, I was just standing out in my backyard, and it was just looking at the trees, and it was as if somebody had, you know, tapped me on the shoulder. Look up. And I looked up, and there was a silver disc, and it just stayed there as long as it took from it to register in my brain, and then it cloaked. It was gone in an instant.
Cloaking technology, the Klingons are here now.
and then they got my interest. And then I started going out at night. And what I would do, I'd get a heart on, and then I would say, if there's any friends out there, any friendlies that want to say hello, you're more than welcome. And by golly, some would show up. You know,
wow.
I've seen, like, some things come up in groups and stuff. And one really, really cool thing was, one evening I went out there, I was looking at the north sky, and it was below freezing.
Oh, wow.
And I was looking at the north sky, and I gave them an invitation, and I said, okay, no takers. And then I looked to the eastern sky, and there must have been like 20 lights. They were absolutely beautiful. They were flickering. They looked like fireflies, but they couldn't have been fireflies because it was below freezing.
Oh, wow.
It was like the whole eastern sky was just filled with them. And I thought, boy, I must not be the only one seeing these.
Wow.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why else would they go to such lengths to try to,
obscure them.
Of the clouds. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said last week, that one time I was looking at my blue sky, and it was literally a patch of blue sky, and this nasty old chemtrail plane came and started chemtrailing right in the middle of it. And so I thought, I'm just going to like...
Nope.
Blast him with love, and I did not have a heart on at the time. I just said, I'm just going to blast him with love, because it was instantaneous. And it just said, you know, love, 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 love. And then he shut off his chemtrail smoke garbage and flew out of there like a bat out of Hades. And I thought, wow, man, this love stuff really works. And then from the edge of the cloud came this sphere that looked like a miniature planet with it looked like a dirt path up to the front of it. And
wow.
It came right over in front of me and was like checking me out, was scanning me. And the entire time, like, I was checking it out. And the whole thing, the whole time I just kept thinking, you know, like, what the frig? And then it turned around and flew off, and I went in the house. And yeah, and I kept thinking, like, you know, what was up with that? And, you know, I've seen, like, deltoid-shaped ones and cigar-shaped ones and a lot of twinklies. And some of them power up, too. If you send them special love, they power up. They're very cool.
And so it's kind of like Monsters Incorporated, you know, where they're sitting there on Scream, and it's like, and then they found out that laughter was so much more powerful than Scream. It's like, you know, people deal in fear and hate until they find out that, you know, love is actually a lot more powerful than fear and hate is.
Awesome. It sounds like a great movie. That's very
cool. It's a cartoon. It's Pixar. It's really cute.
Nice.
So,
like, with regards to various forms of empowerment, you know, you don't have to be into, you know, Egyptian alchemical type of
transformation. We're not quite trying to learn how to transmutate lead into gold. Which there's a theory out there that that's how the Catholic Church got so rich in the century, whatever century it was, because there was an old dude that literally was in the vaults, and he was an alchemist, and he did learn how to somehow rather miraculously change lead to gold. It was like some kind of chain reaction. We don't know what he did. We wish we knew, because a lot of us would buy and turn it into gold if we knew.
Wow.
A lot of theories on that. Yeah. Exactly.
So, with regards to like alternative methods, I found this one book. It came, and I only had time to read, you know, just a few bits of it, and I could see his name is Richard Gordon, Gordon, and the name of it is called Quantum Touch 2.0, the New
what?
Human. It's called Quantum
cool.
Touch 2.0, the New Human: Discovering and Becoming. And now he uses a method that just uses the body. He doesn't even mention the chakras.
Wow.
And he also emphasizes feelings. And so, like, both of these methods emphasize your feelings And also, just like the Hawther works, you know, that Tom Kenyon
right.
channeled, this person, this Richard, emphasizes how you have to get accustomed and adjusted and welcome your feelings again. And what he advocates to use the body, I thought this is an interesting method. He says what you do is, and also your breath. He says you start out and you like take your hand and you just like gently stroke an area of your foot and feel that and try to recreate that feeling in your mind after you've done that. And then you stroke your leg, you know, like a foot-long stroke, and then you try and recreate that in your mind again. And then you do that all the way up, you know, your chest to your neck, all the way to your forehead, and recreate it. And then, he said, and then try to feel your fingers going from the side of your, like from your forehead down the side of your face, down your neck, down your shoulder, and your, you know, your arms. And imagine how that feels. And after you do that for a while, and you get used, you know, entertain your feelings. And he says, now what you do, you incorporate that with a breath. With an in-breath, you feel the feelings coming up, you know, from your feet to your legs, your knees, your thighs, up to your chest. And then he doesn't, like I said, he doesn't use the chakras. And so you still continue the feeling going up your neck, your face, into the center of your forehead. And then in your exhale, you imagine the feeling going down from your forehead to the side of your face, your neck, and down both of your arms. And he says, then you do that a couple of times. And then he said, you know, it's also with focus. And, and you know, whatever your desire
is. It also kind of sounds like, you know, what they call a meridian work, you know, the Eastern Oriental stuff, you know, has like, you know, your master point on your head, and it's like, you know, you have like the body, you know, meridians and lines and, you know, stuff like that in your body. It's like you could make use of those. That sounds really interesting.
Oh, thank you. You're a Reiki master.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
so essentially that sounds like what he's doing.
Interesting.
And he gets wonderful results, and he says that it doesn't matter what mood you're in when you do that. He says it doesn't matter even if you're a skeptic, even if you don't believe it works. He says
it
will work. And so
he
doesn't take into consideration, you know, the vibration.
Right.
Which is what the Hawthers, you know, are completely about. This is a vibration, because that's what they're out to do, is to raise the entire vibration of the planet.
Planet, right.
Right. And so, like, my point is just what the Hawthers do, they give you, you know, I would highly recommend this book. This is like the basic foundation.
Is this like a new print, or what? I was going to say, what is this?
Is this
a newly one out? Okay.
You can get an older edition. You know, try it on. Sorry. You can get an older edition. That would work too. It's the Hawther material, Messages from an Ascended Civilization. It's by Tom Kenyon and Virginia Asin. And I know you can buy it on TomKenyon.com. And I believe you can also get it on, what's that website where you get Amazon.
Oh, Amazon, okay.
Yeah, you might even be able to pick up.
I've looked for it. I know that my daughter also has this thing, price.com or something, where you can get, you know, books. Because I was looking for a book the other day on Amazon. It must have been out of, I didn't think it was. But the author is Carlos E. Marquides, and it's like he wrote a trilogy. It was The Magus of Strovolos, The Extraordinary World of a Spiritual Healer. He also wrote Only to the Sun, Fire in the Heart. It was about this old Greek, you know, Daskalos, whatever, on the Greek island. But it's Carlos Marquides, and I was like, well, man, it's like one of those things. And it was a paperback book, and it's like on Amazon for like $119. And I went, is it out of print? And I missed something here, because I had that trilogy, and it's like, it makes me more motivated to go, you know, dig through my boxes and see if that's one of the ones that survived.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I bought that paperback for like $5.95 back in the day. It's like, what happened to the prize? I'm like, holy moly, I need to go find this book.
Who would have known metaphysics could pay off so well?
Well, the really rotten part was, it's like between the times that I moved, it's like I got about 5 boxes of my books, you know, damaged, water damaged and stuff. It was like I lost over $1,000 worth of my books. So it's like I'm still in the process of replacing those. I was really bummed. Yeah. Wow. So that's, looking for cheaper books, I was like, well, holy moly, I hope that's not one of the ones that got trashed on me.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So, wow. Getting back on topic, with regards to, empowerment, if you've noticed how the culture is being designed, and that's... And that's a conscious design, not for our own betterment. And so, we have to take this in our own hearts. And what they're trying to do is, mechanize us. They're trying to, turn us into robots. Have you noticed how they slowly did that? They started to have us pump our own gas, and they took our gasoline services away. They used to come out and check your air and your water and your, windshield, and they don't do that anymore. And then they started to put these barcodes on everything, and then they want to replace cashiers with machines, and, have you noticed that? The steady...
Cash. Oh, yeah, this influx of... Well, it's even better than that. It's I've got a friend who I just heard from, a couple days ago. Literally, she has been in a drug-induced coma. She was, bedridden for, 5.5 months. I wondered what happened to her. I just, it's she fell off the face of the planet. And I was like, well, what in the world? She called me back. She goes, no. I got some news for you. She's on Medicaid for some various things. And it's they prescribed her this stuff. And it's I can't even remember what the name of it starts with an L. And she said, it is the worst thing ever. She said, she's a very strong-willed person. She says, I lost my will to live. I lost, just lost it. And she said, I can see why if people are being medicated or being zoned. I was wow. It's this is another one of those topics we need to bring this on and talk about, But some of the stuff that they are designing are designer drugs. Shall we say, that community that you kind of got out of, they're doing some really interesting stuff. She was telling about how you can, let's see, what was it, some of the stuff that they wanted her to swallow, it would have put some kind of radio transceiver in her, and it would have told how much, how much medication dosage, she was being administered, whatever, it's how much she was taking, so they could literally track her in the doctor's office, and I went, that's really kind of spooky.
Then what do they do?
That's a little bit tracking for me, I was I really wouldn't want to do that. She says, I don't either.
What about a good old-fashioned blood test? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old-fashioned blood test and good old-fashioned drugs like aspirin. That's what I'm about.
A little bark. aspirin is derived from white little bark, that's the Native American thing. It's it is.
And mushroom, flower essence. And I really don't people who are dogmatic about stuff, but
right.
And another thing that we can do with regards to our food and our medicine and stuff is take power back and into your own hands, but you're wondering how do we do this? And it's
Right.
Go within yourself, and it's all intention and focus. You can go ask your body, where does it need attention? And then you just focus light on it for as long as you can, and you will be amazed at how much better you can feel. And that's essentially what this that Gordon's book is, Richard Gordon's book is about. But he focuses primarily on health.
Right.
And he has had incredible success from many, many, many people from using this method. And so I'm essentially using the same kind of thing, with, intention and breathing. And
is it working for your dog? Hey, are you using this on him too? Because I know he had a condition. You said he was having seizures, and the veterinarian said put him on barbiturates or something like that. And I remember the first month you got him off of, he went from 20 seizures to 3 seizures, but you were also replacing that with that tea that had that mushroom.
With Bach flower essence, yeah. Yeah, he's so much improved for sure. But what I wanted to get back to is how they're trying to make us into these robots, and my entire beef with the scientific and medical community is that they look on us as these machines, and they're even psychologists look on us as machines. They think that we react. Stimuli, response. Stimuli, response. That's how they view us. That's how they view psychology. And that is not right. That's essentially when you're becoming self-empowered, you don't react. You act consciously. You just don't have this pre-programmed reaction, you have act. You know,
a responsive action. Okay.
Right.
So how does the, you know, and, so getting rid of that program, you know, because, you know, I mean, and I see this as a major education thing because, you know, how can people do this if they're not aware? You know, first of all, it's like a certain, you know,
exactly,
a certain amount of awareness has to take place. And it's like, I mean, I look at stuff, just simple things like, you know, what they're doing to our food. You know, it's like, you know, we got into, like, you know, GMOs and this kind of stuff. But it's like going, you know, high fructose corn syrup, it's a killer, man, literally. You know, but it's like we vote at the grocery store about what we buy. And it's like, and part of the challenge, and I mean, it really is a challenge, is to make people aware of it. And even when people are aware of it, and you know, high fructose corn syrup, that's, you read the label, and people are still drinking soda pop, you know, and other things. I think it's, I can't remember, it's like,
and
really
reduced iron.
Reduced iron. Tell me about that. Yeah. What's
that
with the reduced iron?
Well, it's, they're essentially putting in metal shards as opposed to a mineral. And you
can prove it with
a magnet. Go to YouTube.
Okay,
and
this is what you were talking about with leading the cereal around in the bowl with the magnet. It's like,
right,
what's it like, frosted something? It's like, is there a brand name that we can say, or is there a generic name? But it's like,
almost, like, I would say like 90% of the cereal in the stores have reduced iron in it, and bread too. It's hard to find stuff without reduced iron in it.
Wow. But you can literally take a magnet. I remember you were saying, I was like, I didn't hear that yet because I know they'd be in the cereal bowl with a magnet doing this.
No, I'm serious. Go to YouTube.
It's like I'm going to go look at cereal now, you know, with a whole different view.
Right.
It's a trash experiment. Let's see this. Like,
and so they really do think we are robots, don't they?
Here,
they want us
oil,
to, like, ching and chang. Yeah. And so, like another thing
diet.
That I like. Right. An iron diet. And it's like, one of my things that I like to do is when I, like, encounter people in, you know, daily life, like, I try and make humans into these people that have been reduced to acting like robots, like a toll booth collector. You know, that's like pretty, like a, that's like a robotic type of
robotic job. Yeah, yeah.
And I try and humanize them. I'll just go up to them and ask them like a human question, like, are you warm in there? Or, you know, like, I hope that, you know, you have, you know, access to a bathroom or just, you know, anything to make them human again. And you would be amazed how they open up.
That,
you know, they,
really
people love to interact as humans. We don't like to be treated like we're robots. In psychology, it's like, you know, they have all of these programs, and they essentially gauge how what your illness, you know, quote, illness is by how errant you are in your reaction to it. You know, it's just hogwash. I mean, I understand there are people in emotional pain, and believe me, I've been there. But I don't think that psychology had anything, you know, that could help me. It was all internal work. You know, it was all self-healing.
Well, you know, I heard a really good thing. It came off a secret. I can't remember which of the guys it was. I think he was a chiropractor, but he said, incurable, you know, when medical terms, you know, says incurable disease, he says it means curable within. Like, so if it's incurable, it's incurable. You have to cure it from within. I'm like going, yeah, I can see that.
Very cool. Oh, totally.
Yeah. I know you've seen The Secret. Haven't you seen that? Or maybe you read the book. It's like, I can't remember because, you know, some of the, I don't know. We've seen it. I own the book and the movie, and it's like my kids could quote lines out of it better than I can. But I don't remember if that part is in the book or if it was just in the movie. But it's, you know, there's some amazing things that she brought out there. You know, and it's like all this information is coming out, and I'm like going, okay, you know, are people recognizing it? You know, that's the big thing, because I remember there was once upon a time you said you had a demonstration, you invited people to a demonstration, and you were the only one out there with the poster. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I was the only one who showed. It was against chemtrail. Well, it was actually, I don't go against things. It was chemtrail
awareness.
And I had a list of what they have found in chemtrails, and how, Cornell University and the country of Brazil came up with, you know, a patented seed that could withstand aluminum. Wow. You know, like, gee, why would they do that?
Interesting.
And,
that is. And,
yeah.
Brazil. Hmm.
Yeah, and so,
wow.
Like, I was the only one out there with this placard, like, with the old-fashioned. I wore one on the front of me and the back of me, and I carried one. I was quite a sight. And I actually got 3 or 4 honks, and the policeman.
Oh, man.
Oh, I was such a threat. They had to cruise by to make sure that I was maintained.
Who's the person out here? What are they doing? It's like, well, they're the only person. I mean, it's like, that's what amazed me. It's like nobody else showed up but you. I was like, wow. Well, you were that single voice crying out in the wilderness going, awareness.
Right.
It's like, well, okay, wow.
Yeah, and I was crying out, Scotty, beam me up. I got back, Scotty has retired. It's up to
Scotty
you
has
now.
Somebody else can have to stop your molecule.
A challenge. Yeah, but a really important point, like I wanted to add that I neglected to mention was with the quantum aspect.
There
like quantum, what it really means essentially is it's a prediction. It's a good,
right.
Educated guess. Let's say you're looking at like light particles or waves, depending what you're looking for. Let's say you're watching these. And
they respond to what they're – I mean, this is the stuff that's responsive. When you look for something, you will find it, right?
Exactly. Like with the
right. –
exactly. If they had the double slit experiment, they found that the results were altering themselves depending on what they were looking for. And they're like, wait a minute. You know? What?
It's conscious. It's responding. How does this work? Right.
Right. And so it's kind of like how the human body is constructed with our nervous system. We have a nerve synapse where there's like a space, it's a gap that's tiny enough that like a quantum, they say like quantum is, I can't remember, like the width or angstroms or how wide it is, but it's essentially can fit in our nerve synapses. And so we have a moment, just a moment, where we can insert our will, our focus, and
wow.
intention. And so it completely changes the outcome of whatever the initial stimuli was. It's kind of like I took up archery because I really wanted to work with focus and intention, and I intended to hit
right.
that bullseye, by golly. And that's what I do every time I, excellent. I would
really?
Focus, and I even did a William Tell.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah. William Tell is like when you can take one arrow and, like, embed it right in the back of another one.
Right.
That shows
wow.
that you're, consistent in your aim and focus.
Right.
Oh, so I thought, wow, this focus stuff, I mean, it's very powerful. And so, like, what we're doing, we have to put this stuff all together now, like with the quantum. The quantum, let's just say, that's like a card up our sleeve. It's we can use that towards intention. And our focus is primary, awareness of our feeling, minus the external programmation. Let's see, and method of delivering it. And when you think about people, that a lot of people can pick that up on the other side of the world. So you
right.
can just like deliver it with thought. Or with,
wow.
you can mix that all together, your breath, your thought, and then send it. Like supercharged. And it's very
wow.
powerful. And oh my gosh, they do not want us to discover this. They're doing
oh,
everything
sure.
they possibly can to keep us distracted. Here, try
and
this new...
We got 60 seconds. We got 60 seconds, Madam X.
Oh.
This has gone really quick. This is to be continued, isn't it?
And who knows when. We'll rely on synchronicity. I hope that it was interesting to you.
Oh, I learn something every time I talk with you. It's like, oh my goodness! It's like, I should learn from that. I should start taping some of our conversations that we don't have on air. Oh goodness!
Alrighty then, it was most enjoyable, and I thank you for giving me
yes.
5 minutes notice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this was very spontaneous today. It sure was. It's like we had something totally different planned for another day, but it's like she's still researching some of that other stuff because this lady knows how to research, and she's very good with what she does, and it's like I trust her sources, shall we say. Okay. We have the NASA countdown happening, so we got 10
I'm
seconds,
just
so anyway.
just being an enthusiastic child. Have a good
exactly.
one.
Alrighty, thank you. And check us out at www.psychicsgonewild.com, and you guys have an awesome day.